This is Reuven Levy. We're learning together Masechet Brachot. We're in the ninth chapter, a few daf from the end. Daf Samach, Amud Aleph, page 60, first A, 60A, in the art scroll, 60A4. We're learning the laws of Brachot. And we're learning also, in this sugya, laws relating to when a person makes brachot, when does he pray? When is it appropriate to pray, and when is it appropriate not to pray? So the Mishnah taught us it's appropriate not to pray. Okay? Inshallah, but it's just a bit noisy. I feel like I'm shouting. Does it feel like I'm shouting? I feel like I'm shouting. What? Yeah.
No, your level's fine.
Sorry?
The level on the meter is fine.
The level on the meter is fine. Okay. As long as JewishFriendCat.com is happy, everyone's happy. So, we're learning when it's appropriate to pray. So, we're told that we don't pray for a tefillat shav. What's a tefillat shav? A prayer in vain. Prayer in vain is something that you can't change. Something that's already happened. Something that's already happened, it's not appropriate to pray on. I don't know if it shows lack of emunah, it just shows lack of intelligence. Right? If the Gemara gives an example, if you come into the city and there's screaming coming from a house, you shouldn't pray. I hope that Hashem made that not be my house. Whatever house it is, it is. You can't undo it. So it's a tefillat shav. So then we looked at what's the case of a pregnant lady. And the Mishnah told us, apparently the Mishnah told us, but it was very brief, said that if you pray on a pregnancy that it should be a boy, then it's a tefillat shav, because it's already whatever it is, and it's not going to change inside. So then the Gemara explained that and said this is only after the first 40 days. Before the first 40 days, the gender has not yet been determined, and you are allowed to pray. Or whatever you want. So, then we looked at. After the sorry, I misunderstood.
After the zeal's already passed.
Yes.
Nachon.
So there, the gezeirah has been passed. But the but we're not changing the physical reality. If you were, we had one explanation when we looked at the question of whether or not you can change a pregnancy. So we saw with Dina, with Leah. Leah prayed that Dina should be a girl because she saw that she'd already had six boys. If she had any more, that Rachel would have less than the maidservants, and it wouldn't be very nice. So she prayed that the pregnancy she had inside her should turn into a girl, and Dina was the result of that. So one explanation to that was, well, it was in the first 40 days, and that's okay. But the other explanation we saw as well, which wasn't discounted, was taken as a true explanation, was that no, it was actually a boy, and she prayed and she changed it into a girl. And the Gemara responded to that. In that case, we don't rely on miracles. We don't take proofs of miracles. So, if you go by that explanation, then you can still say it is possible, but it's not advisable. But the bottom line of the Gemara is that we don't do that. Okay. So then we looked at, what about fear? Is it appropriate to pray because you're worried about something? Or does it just show lack of emunah? So we saw an incident with Hillel when he heard screaming from the city. He said, "Oh, my heart is strong and I'm confident that that's not from my house." And he didn't make any prayers. We then saw a couple of examples of a student with their teacher. And the student was afraid of a particular thing. And in the first one, Rabbi Ishmael tells Rabbi Yossi that you're a sinner because sin causes fear. At least in that explanation, over on this sugya here. Anyway, the student tries to get out of it by saying that there's a pasuk which says, pasuk in Mishlei which says, "Ashrei adam lefached tamid." Happy is the one who is always afraid. And the teacher came back and said, "No, that's regards words of Torah. It's appropriate to be afraid that you might forget your words of Torah, but it's not appropriate to be afraid of other things."
But that just means you have to constantly review.
That means you have to constantly review. So then we saw, is it appropriate to say a prayer when you enter into the bathhouse? Why? Why do you want to say a prayer? Not because of the germs, but because the way the bathhouses were made were that they were made over a pit, so that the water could flow into a pit, and with the wooden planks on top. And it's possible that the wooden planks can give way, and it can be very dangerous. So the Gemara wants to know, is it appropriate to say a prayer? So we have on a... So where are we now? Tanu Rabbanan. Can you start... Hold on. And if that's the big mark, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 lines up from the bottom. Third word in, and if not, the beta mechas. Tanu Rabbanan. Two lines, two words in. Tanu Rabbanan. Tafresh. End of 68.4. Tanu Rabbanan. And if not, the beta mechas. One who goes into the bathhouse. Omer, he says. Yehi ratzon lefanecha, Hashem Elokai. Baby, you will Hashem. Shetatzileni mizeh, that you will save me from this. And things like it. And may no matter of Yes. So you're right. You're not allowed to put yourself in danger, but there's a halachic definition of danger. Kind of there's a halachic view of what danger means, because everything is dangerous. So you have to take a level at what point it's dangerous, or what. So is it dangerous to drive from here to Tel Aviv? Probably yes, but it's not so dangerous that I'm not allowed to do it halachically. Even though I'm allowed to do it, I should still say tefillat
aderech. Yeah, of course, but let's say your brakes not the best. Is that okay at what?
I'm saying it's like driving to Tel Aviv. Meaning there's still a small danger, but you're allowed to do it. But you should say tefillat aderech on the way.
Yeah,
you still pray on the way, even though if it was really dangerous, you should do it. And if there's kind of like this middle danger, if there's no danger at all, so you probably won't pray. And if there's a middle danger, meaning there's some risk, so then I should pray. That's my understanding.
Like you put the bathhouse on the floor.
Yeah.
Of the pizza.
The old days.
Another rabbi on Friday died in the metro.
Did he?
Heart attack. This really guy was in London. Heart attack.
In a metro in London.
In London,
this happened.
It happened in London. I think here today.
There's not that many men's mikvahs in London.
What?
There's not that many men's mikvahs in London. There's probably one, two tops.
Maybe God is prepared to.
I don't know where they are. Wow.
But
I tried to find one when I went years ago. Didn't have any luck. Yehi ratzon lefanecha, Hashem. You see how important it is? Prayer before you go into the bathhouse. On the daf. May it be your will, Hashem, that you save us from this. And there won't happen to me a matter of kalkala being wrecked up, messed up, or a sin. And if one of these nasty things does happen, then let my death be an atonement for all my sins. Interestingly, Hashem should look after me, and if you don't and I die, should be a kapara. You get my thing. It's an interesting So, but we see here that actually that end bit, we're going to see is not correct. And the Gemara is going to challenge that and say, you don't say that. It's not appropriate. Amar Abai, lo lema inish hachi. A person shouldn't say this. Why not? The lo liftach pumei le satan. We don't open our mouth to the satan. We don't give the satan an opening. Right? We don't say, Bezrat Hashem, something bad won't happen to me. No, we always phrase it in the positive. Bezrat Hashem, this should go really well. Although, interestingly, just thinking about it now, in Tefillat HaDerech, we do say things like, maybe, well, Hashem, that we don't have any trouble, we don't have any run into any bad things on the way, and we kind of list the bad things. Whereas here, we're suggesting, it should be Hashem, it should be a smooth ride, we should get to our place in good health and happiness and safe. And that's really the better prayer, maybe.
But
Tefillat HaDerech was set. By the room.
Nahon. So maybe
you can't change it.
You're right. So I'm just pointing out that.
So they had their intention when they said it.
I'm not going against Tefillat HaDerech. That's for sure. I'm just pointing out that the words are interesting. Here we're saying that is a good point. That that's not the case. Here it says because the person said that if I die, and it should be an atonement. So that's really kind of in Gemara's language and asking for trouble. Right? It's not an appropriate thing to say. The Ma Reish Lakish, because Reish Lakish said, V'chen Tana Mashmeid Rabbi Yossi. It was also taught in a Braita too, in the name of Rabbi Yossi. Lo'olam al yiftach adam piv l'satan. A person should never open their mouth to the satan. Amar Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef said, Ma'ikra, where do we get this from? From what pasuk? Dichtiv, that it's written, Kimat kistom hayinu, la'amora daminu. Right? So here in this pasuk, which is from Yeshayahu, he is saying, we would have been like Sodom, we would have been like Gomorrah. Amora. Sodom and Amora. Gomorrah. Depending on how you, if you Englishize it, right? How does that help us for our sugya? So the next part of the Gemara explains, "My hader lehu nabi." What after this says to them the nabi? What does the nabi say to them after they say we would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah? So then the nabi says to them, "Shemu devar Hashem, katsine Sodom." Listen to the words of Hashem, you chiefs of Sodom, right? Because they said we would have been like Sodom, so then that gave the Navi the right to call them chiefs of Sodom. You said it, and I'm just using your own words. Right? Even though they said it in the we would have been like, they didn't say we are. They said we, if Kilu, they were saying to the Navi, you're right, if we carry on this way, we're going to be really bad. The Navi says, you're really bad. Right, because you admit, you opened your mouth to that notion. So, the truth is, we have in also learned. We also have the, we learn, seeing it also in Makot and in other Gemaras, that a person can't implicate himself, right? A person's not allowed to testify against himself. In certain circumstances, you're allowed to admit something, pay up, but you can't, can't make yourself a rasha. In court, you're not believed. But that doesn't necessarily mean that it's the same spiritual speaking. Spiritually speaking is a different thing. So here, spiritually speaking, it's bringing unpleasant things on ourselves. Really, I think this falls into the sugya of the fact that our words are so powerful. And they have reality. Right? Just like Hashem spoke the world into being through his words, so we also speak the world into being through our words. Right? We don't realize that. So obviously through prayer, but even not through prayer, our words, and the stronger we are, the more the tzaddik we are, then perhaps the stronger those words are too. It doesn't mean that a person who is not on such a high level, his words are meaningless. It just means they're weaker, but they still have some effect, and that will have to come into an effect somehow, in order, because we're created in the image of Hashem, and whatever we say has power. It could have more power or less power, but it still has power. Right. Yes and no. The no bit is because over there the main Indian is that a person judges himself. It doesn't need to be spoken out in order to judge yourself. Right? When we judge other people, just even in our heads, we're judging ourselves. We're allowing the same punishment to be given to us on our own misdeeds that we did the same thing. Even if we don't speak it out, if we do speak it out, it's a lot stronger. It has more power. But
one excellent example would be when Rachel was hiding Laban's idols, and Yaakov cursed whoever was hiding.
Exactly.
And
right.
She got cursed and died, and he didn't realize it.
Right, so it's even without intention. Although, actually, I mean, his intention was for that to be true, but perhaps, but he didn't expect his wife to be the recipient of it. No. Okay. Kinafik Mayomer, when he leaves the bathhouse, what does he say? When he leaves, when he comes out, what does he say? Amar Rabacha. Rabacha says, he says the following, Modeani lepanecha Hashem Elokai, shehi tzaltani min ha'or, that you saved me from the fire. Which is interesting. I don't know why the fire. Yeah, but why that Masham? Save me from the fire.
Fire of Gehenna?
Could be.
That's where he did the big thing, the fire.
You think they might have been worried about falling into the fire?
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about. I thought it was a pit. I'd say it was a pit.
Yeah,
it's all on pillars and
things.
Okay. So now we're going to see an incident where something happened. Rabbi Abahu al-Vaybani. Apparently that means he entered a bathhouse. Rabbi Abahu al-Vaybani, I don't know the words. But according to the article translation, it means Rabbi Abahu entered a public bathhouse. If chit bei bani mitute, the floor, the bathhouse gave away, fell away beneath him. Itrachish le nisa, a miracle happened to him. Kam al amuda, and he was left standing on a pillar, one of these pillars that are in the middle of the floor that are holding up the floor. So the floor fell away, but fortunately he managed to, miraculously, he was left standing on a pillar. Shaziv mea v'chad gavrei v'chad avrei. He saved 101 men with one limb. He held out his arm, or he held out his leg. One person grabbed onto it and other people grabbed onto them, and he saved what the I.
101 is something
specific. Nachon. All right. Yeah, I mean, no, this is
Nachon. 100, 100, 100.
How many times you learn? Nachon. To learn 100 times is not the same as learning 101. Let's see, Rashi said Bizarro with his arm. Hechazik echad, he held on to one, or shnaim, or two. Vazeh, and this one, and then this one. Hechaziku ad mea bechad, they held on to each other until 101. Obviously, these things are more than just a master, more than just a story. They come to teach us. What they come to teach us, we have to wait for a bit more white in our beard. Maybe Abraham can tell us. You have a bit more white in your beard than us. So waiting for.
If you and Sally's teaching, they hold on to this covenant, hold on to each other.
Fair. Yeah, you could say that through your prayers you can also save other people, maybe too. Right? He prayed, presumably, it doesn't say, but presumably he prayed for safety when he went in. And his prayer also saved with him 101 other. Ambar, he said, Hainu de Rav Acha. This is what Rav Acha was talking about. Right, Rav Acha was the Tana before, or Amora before, that said you should say Modena Nia Lefanecha, thank you Hashem for saving me from the fire. And then this happens to Rav Abahu said that's what Rav Acha meant. Baruch Hashem, we understood now what he meant. Okay, next. Hanichnas Lahakizdam, what who enters to let blood. Right, bloodletting was in the olden days, as you probably know, a major source of refuah for people. Why? Because basically, I bet how you want to look at it, but a simple explanation is that disease is carried in the blood, and when you get ill, your blood gets messed up. It carries the disease, it's got all the nasties with it. So why do you let? You let blood, and then new blood gets produced. So you kind of clean the system out, like putting new oil and taking out some of the old dirty oil from the car and putting in some new oil in the engine. So when you let blood, you create, yeah, because you've got to fill, take out a pint, you need to generate more, so that you generate more new stuff, and that helps to clean up. So they used to do that a lot. We don't do it now.
Dialysis.
But they used to do it for everything. But they knew a lot more than we do.
They lived in a healthier environment back then. They didn't have pesticides, genetically modified foods, pollution, or highly processed foods.
So what you're telling me, you're saying that if they came back now, they would say, forget that bloodletting, it's not going to work. It could do, right, yeah, they would like just look around and say, in our day, that would have been great, that would have been, but nowadays, forget it. Yeah. Once you've eaten a Mars bar.
Well, for blood donation, you can do 6 times a year.
Yeah.
Normally, it's a pint.
Yeah.
And I gave 10 gallons.
10 gallons? Not in one go, I hope.
No. No, this is over. They actually gave me a shot glass, a brandy sniffer, you know, for my 10th gallon.
Very good. Tov. So there we go. Anyone who wants to do that should go ahead with blessing of their rock. Okay. So anyone who wants to give blood. So we see that. So let's see what they say. Yehi ratzon lefanecha, Hashem Elokai. May it be your will, Hashem. She yehi esek zeh, that this business, this thing that I'm doing, li lerefuah. Shall be for me a refuah, and you will heal me. Ki el rofene manata, because you, Hashem, are a faithful healer. Urfuatcha emet, and your remedy is true. Lefi she'en darkan shabnei adam lerapot ela shenahagu. Because it's not the way of man to, here it says, to seek treatment. Except shenahagu. Except what they have accustomed themselves to. I don't know what that means. People shouldn't do the help, but they should rather pray. Not the place that people seek medical treatment. But so, here, so what's he saying? Lefi she'en darkan shel ben adam lerapot. It's not the way of man to actually go and look for treatment from a doctor. Ela shenahagu, but that's what they become accustomed to. It's a custom. Should know it's not appropriate. So when you go for a treatment, you should say that Hashem, may this remedy be a cure for me, and may the cure come from you. Because you're the one that's healing me, right? As I pop the pills. Rabbi Nachman was very against doctors.
Same thing with vaccination. The quality control and the ethics behind the big pharmaceutical companies is so bad that they cause more problems than they cure.
Okay. Yofi, Amar Abai, so Abai's now bringing us the other view that you will see in the world. Amar Abai, Loli Ma in Shehafi. A person shouldn't say this. Shouldn't say what? So here the explanation, you shouldn't say the last line. Not that you shouldn't say, Hashem, you should heal me, but you shouldn't say, because it's not the way of man to get to seek a refuah. Why not? The Tanei Tevei Rabbi Ishmael, because it was taught in the Yeshiva Rabbi Ishmael. V'rafo yirape, right? Yirafo yirape is from Shmot. He shall provide healing. What's that? That's in the context of when a person gets in a fight, or when he gets struck or hit by a person. The pasuk says, "V'rafo yirape." He shall. Doesn't mean that he shall heal him. It means that you should provide his medical expenses. And it's talking about a court case and the compensation you need to pay him. But from here, Rabbi Ishmael learned down to drasha. He can. From here we learn that permission is given to a doctor to heal. So here, let's just read this footnote because it's interesting. Says, had permission not been granted to doctors, it might have been thought that it was forbidden for them to practice. One could have said that if God struck this person with a disease, how can we presume to cure him and thereby apparently nullify God's decree? The verse therefore tells us that this reasoning is not correct. It makes no difference whether the illness was brought about by man or natural causes. You know what that means? In either case, a doctor has permission to heal. But Ramban Nachmanides takes a different approach. He says that in an ideal world, a sick person should turn to God and not to doctors to heal him. Thus, the Torah's permission is granted to doctors and not to the patients. The patient should really restrain themselves and not go to the doctor. But if they do approach a doctor, the Torah gives the doctor permission to treat him. However, because we're really artful, so we have to give back the other view. However, Ramban concedes that this standard is reserved for a utopian society. Very flowery words. Ideally, a righteous generation who generally partakes of God's blessings bestowed upon their food, drink, and health. The Torah recognizes, though, that a generation which is far from that pinnacle should not be discouraged from seeking medical treatment. So, Okay. Everyone should do what the rabbi tells them to do in the situation.
And currently they're saying no vaccination. And
depends on the rabbi. Different rabbis have different views. Ki Kai Mayomer. When he gets up, right, it was after receiving the bloodletting treatment, when he gets up, Mayomer, what does he say? Amar Rav Acha, he says, Baruch Rofeh Chinam. Thank you for the free treatment. The doctor looks at him and says, I don't think so. That will be 500 shekels, please. So no, it says the Gemara, Baruch Rofeh Chinam. It says on the page, come on. You're from doctor, you didn't read it. So, blessed are you, the free healer. And the doctor reminds him that actually he just talked to Hashem. Not talk to me, you talk to Hashem now. Thank you, Hashem. You are the one who heals for free. Hashem heals for free. Maccabi and Mochedet charge. Chinam. Free. Yeah, Hashem, thank you for healing me for free. What does he mean for free? He doesn't mean for payment. We don't pay Hashem anyway. Why, you want me to give you a donation to the temple? I mean, what does he mean free? Free means I didn't deserve it. Like, you gave me the illness for a reason, because I needed it, I had kapara, I deserved it, it was mama giali, lo yisurim b'lo avon. And now you're taking it away. For free. I didn't do anything yet. I didn't do teshuva completely. I didn't clean off everything. That was my idea.
But it's an excellent excuse to do his bodhidut. I mean, hardcore is his bodhidut and hardcore teshuva.
Yeah, which is tough.
Written in the Garden of the Muna.
Also on its own?
Yeah.
Without.
Nachon. And we also learn, Chazal say this in the Gemara, that an illness has its time. Hashem says when it's going to come and when it's going to leave. So, how that fits in here anyway, if it's going to go, it only goes when Hashem says it's going to go. We know that a doctor can give one person treatment and it has no effect at all. And give another person treatment and it clears up straight away. It's all purposeful. It's not random. Right? So okay, Hanichnas lebeit hakise. One who goes into the other bathroom, the restroom. Right? What does he say? So, different views about whether or not you need to say this nowadays. Let's see what he says and then we'll talk about it. What does a person say? Hitkabdu mechubadim kedoshim mesharatei elyon. Hitkabdu, you're honored, the honored ones, the holy honored ones, servants of Hashem. Tenu kavod lelokei Yisrael. Give honor to the God of Israel. Harfu mimeni. Leave me. Loosen yourself from me. Ad she'ekanes ve'aseh ratzoni ve'avo aleichem. Until I go in and I do what I need to do and then I'm going to come out back to you. What's he saying? So every person has two angels accompanying him wherever he goes. And except they don't go with him into the bathhouse. There's no mezuzah on the door. It's not a holy place. They stay outside. So it's kavod to turn to your angels and say words of praise. Thank you very much for looking after me. And wait here for me and I'll be back out in a minute. Effectively, that's what we're saying. It's an appropriate bracha to make. So there's views on whether or not we should say this nowadays. So one view I heard was that we don't say it. I mean, generally speaking, we don't say it. We don't see many people, I don't know, so particular individuals who take it upon themselves to say it. But generally speaking, it's not halakha to do so. So one explanation I heard was that either we don't have those, I'm not sure if this is true, we don't have those, or we're not in a position to actually either we don't have those angels anyway, because we're not holy enough to follow us around, and frankly, there's not a lot of difference between our bathhouse and our kitchen, lounge, right? It's all pretty, you know, we're not at that level that we have these angels following us. But yet they stopped at the bathhouse because that was, compared to the rest of the time, they were very holy. But we've lost that level, so that's one opinion, that there's no one to, or that they are there, but we're just not in a level to actually speak to them. Just like fooling yourself if you think that you can speak to the angels that are with you, and you're like holding yourself on such a level that you can speak to angels. I don't know.
Yeah.
So that's also the other thing, that we don't have all those stuff. So you don't have. So here, this is also in the section of prayers, really, about dangerous things that can happen, right? That you enter into, we saw it, if you enter into a dangerous city, a city that they hang you before their trial, you without the trial. Then we had the bathhouse that could fall away. Then we had bloodletting, which can be dangerous, so you need to say a bracha. And so then here, we're going into the bathroom, so again, in that sug of things that can be dangerous, to go into a bathroom, right, because there's demons, or there used to be. Therefore, when you have to leave your guardian angels, so to speak, your protecting angels on the outside, so you should say a bracha that everything's going to be okay. But here it's also, we don't actually mention it, it's all very implicit that we don't say no danger should happen to me when I walk in here. Although that's, you know, probably maybe the what's going on, the idea. But so, and because in nowadays we're at such a weak level, so one of the kindnesses that Hashem does is that we don't have all the demons and stuff that affect us, because we're just not. They take one look at us and they forget it. What's the point? They run. They don't want to be affected by us, right? They were like, ah! But so maybe the Holy Tzaddikim that are on a level may say.
No, but that's true, especially if you worked with Hever Kedisha.
So,
if you've done Hever Kedisha,
yes,
then you are influenced by the demons.
Oh yeah?
They will move things around in your living room. They will try and drive you nuts.
We're not talking about your kids.
No, I'm talking about
real ones.
Real demons.
If what?
If you've worked with Hever Kedisha, if you've done enough taharas,
the burial society.
Burial society. And you've done enough taharas, there are certain demons that will attach to you, especially if the person has died an extremely violent death.
Right.
And those demons can be nasty, to say the least.
Attach yourself to Sadiqim.
Yeah.
You get the protection of Sadiqim. Rav Nachman says, I'm walking in front of you. You have nothing to fear. Tov, okay. So Abai has a different lashon, a different wording for that bracha that a person might say. So he says as follows: Lo lema inchi hachi. A person should not say like this. Why not? Dilma shav kele ba'azle. In case they leave him and go away. Right? In the first version of the prayer, he says, leave yourselves from me, go away until I come back. So Abai says, no, you have to be very careful, because if you say that, they might go away and not come back. So rather you should say, Ella Lema, rather you should say like this. Shimruni, Shimruni. Izruni, Izruni. Guard me, help me, help me. Simchuni, Simchuni. Support me, Hamtinuli, Hamtinuli. Wait for me, wait for me. I guess he says it twice because there's two of them. There's two of them. I know, maybe just maybe emphasis. I mean, you can draw what you want from that. Maybe there's two of them, so they say, Hamtinuli. So you can say words. Each one. That's all. Don't know. It's nice. Or it's emphasis. Twice. I know, but the Gemara is not being effective. The Gemara is saying, he's saying this for a reason. He's not saying just twice that.
Say things twice.
Uh-huh.
Right. You say things three times. Uh-huh. And then you say seven times.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. You're right. And there's reasons. Yeah, for sure there's reasons. So he says that. Wait for me, wait for me. Ad she'ekanes, they'd say, until I go in and come out. Shekain Darkei Shel Bnei Adam, because that is the way of people. I don't know whether the Shekain Darkan Shel Bnei Adam is part of the prayer, or that's the part of the explanation of Abai. It might stop after 8 say. Between Abai. Yeah. So what's the difference in what they're saying?
No, I forgot what they're both saying, but it's just, why does he not agree with the...
Why is he? Because he says in the first version, when you say, leave me, angels, and I will come back, they may go, you're not specifically saying, wait for me. He basically adds, wait for me. No, Shekem Dagan Shel Bnei Adam. I said, I don't know if that is part of the prayer or that's just part of his explanation.
Here he has it as part of the
prayer. Right, so too in our school. Right, it's continued as part of the prayer. It's in the italic bold bit.
He says, if you come in to do anything here, then the human beings need the bathroom.
Okay, if that could be.
What is it to do that one reports is Skulot and the other is the opposite?
Sorry?
What is it to do that one reports versus the Skulot and the other is the opposite?
Not sure. There's a Gemara or it's a Zohar that says that there's when a person dies, three angels accompany him, escort him to the Beit Din Shel Malach. I think I heard the name of Rabbi Akiva Tatz, but he said two angels are the two that accompany you with you the whole time. These two angels that we're talking about, and the third one is and they report on you, right? So it could be that one's positive and one's negative, or represent by whatever you did. So they're two accompanying you the whole time, so they're going to be able to testify on what you did. The Gemara also says that the walls will testify and everything's going to testify on you, so you don't necessarily need the angels, but maybe they're just a representation. And then, who's the third one? So Rabbi Akiva Tatz, who's the third one and what's he doing there? So he answers, I think, Blinad in the name of Zohar, he said, the third one is the angel that taught you Torah in your mother's womb, right? And you recognize him when you see him. And why is he there? Because he's the one who's going to say, no. Did you fulfill what we talked about, what I told you? He's the one who's going to testify that you knew. Because you would say, oh, I didn't know. I told you,
no,
you knew.
You don't testify.
He says it's correct. He doesn't testify himself.
He will say. We learn from King David, and Rabbi Nathan came and asked him about the story. So,
he testifies and agrees, but he's not the one who gives the evidence and he's not the one who gives the judgment. But he agrees for sure. My soul agrees with the judgment. With it. Let's do a little bit more. Kinafik Amir, Amir. When he leaves the bathhouse, what does he say? Oh, so just before we get there, it says here in the name of the Abu Draham and the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch picks it up and comments too. Says that this formula about saying wait for me to the angels should be said by a God-fearing and saintly person upon whom the divine presence rests. An ordinary person, however, should not say it, since he appears haughty if he does, arrogant. The Beit Yosef suggests that this is the reason why the practice of reciting this formula has fallen into disuse in our day. But when he leaves, what does he say? So you might recognize this. What does he say? Baruch Hashem yatsa et adam b'chokma uvo uvo nekavim nekavim chalalim chalalim. Galu v'adua lifnei kiseh kavodecha shim yifateach acham mehem o yisatem aham mehem. Yevshah lamod lefanecha. Tov, familiar blessing that we say on the way out. My Hatim, what's the conclusion? How do you finish that blessing? So two opinions. Amar Rav, Rav says, Rofe cholim. Amar Shmuel, Ka Shavin hu Abba Lukule alma katsire. Abba means Rav, right? Here he calls Rav his Abba. The term, why does he call him that? Does it say here? Abba means father. Shmuel used it as a term of distinction because Rav is older than him. Alternatively, Rav's actual name was Abba, as indicated in another Gemara. And Rav was just the title that people called him. His actual name was Abba. Top, either way, Ka, here, Shavin hu Abba, Abba, meaning Rav, has equated Kule Alma, everyone, Katsire, like sick people. Right? If you end the bracha, like Rav says, Rofe Cholim, then it's the same as the sick people. Ella, rather, Shmuel says, you finish it, Rofe Kobasar, the healer of all flesh. Rav Sheshet Amar, Maflila Sot. No, you should say, maybe he says additionally, we don't know, but he says, Maflila Sot, your acts wondrously. Amara Papa, Hilkach Nemrinhu Letarve, like we saw in a few other places. Therefore, we say all of them, Rofe Kobasar, Maflila Sot. Two of them, right? We don't say Rav's. We just say Shmuel's and Rav Sheshet, right? And we don't say Rav's because Rav's was argued against as being equating it to the Sith people. Where by saying he'll heals all flesh. That's it. Rafei Cholim. Although we do say Rafei Cholim when we're talking about Sith people. I guess you have no choice. Tov, I can continue tomorrow, but